Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, we're talking with Dan Reish. He's a holistic pharmacist and has a pharmacy and medicine hat. Dan, we were talking before the break about, some of the products that, can help you if you get a cold or flu. What about preventing the cold and flu? What are some of the things that can boost the immune system?
Oh, yeah, good question, because we always, of course, we don't want to experience any of those. So, like we were talking before, some of those products that can help treat a cold and flu if you have them. Again, that cold effects is also shown to help prevent. So there's one product and the studies behind it. And all the rage these days is actually vitamin D, good for everything, right? Mm. Good for, as we get older, osteoporosis, our thyroid, depression, seasonal affective disorder, on and on, hormones as we get older. If we don't have enough vitamin D, that works great. But cold and flu, there's been a lot of work with vitamin D there too. And really, the studies are really mixed, but as far as vitamin D goes, basically all the studies really say is if you have a deficiency in vitamin D, then you're more apt to get cold and flu, especially if you have certain conditions that affect maybe your respiratory tract, like asthma or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, things like that. So you don't necessarily need to take extra vitamin D if you're not deficient, but if you are deficient, it is for sure going to help you ward off cold and flus.
What percentage of the population, I don't know if you know this, is deficient in North America or Canada, for Northern BC, Northern Canada,
it's strikingly large. I do a lot of hormone consults with men and women, and obviously they come to me when they already have problems. But when I test them, I would say 98% are probably deficient in vitamin D. That doesn't mean the whole population is obviously deficient, but it is a North American epidemic. So it really needs to be evaluated by everybody's practitioner, because it has links to so many diseases. So if they're not sure if they're displaying, your listeners aren't sure if they're displaying symptoms of low vitamin D, certainly contact your pharmacist, talk about it with their doctor, and see if supplementation is warranted, because some of the symptoms they might be having certainly might be attributed to what's going on with your vitamin D level. It's worth consideration for sure.
What are some of the other deficiencies that show up in your testing?
For hormone consults or vitamin D specifically?
Hormone consults.
Well, you know what? I am blessed to have a wide variety of them. So it's different from children to seniors. But probably the bulk of my business is pre or postmenopausal women. So then we're actually dealing with probably there's estrogen and progesterone, the opposing two hormones basically in the body for women. And as women get older, they tend to produce less progesterone on their own, and they tend to produce less good estrogen, the estradiol version, because the one form that comes from our fat tends to take over and kind of negatively feedback and block both the good estrogen and the progesterone. So I tend to see those dips down quite a bit.
Okay. Coming back to colds and flus, you mentioned asthma. What are some of the natural products that can really help, help lung capacity and help people that have asthma?
Asthma, that's a tricky one, because everybody's a little different. And sometimes asthma patients tend to have sensitivities to lots of different types of herbs in general. That's part of the autoimmune disorder that they might be carrying, having that condition. So you have to be very careful, especially with products like echinacea. But it's funny you brought that up. It's almost like you had the slides from my presentation. There was a study using echinacea in that type of a group that you're describing, but also using alone or with vitamin C and a vitamin B complex. And they found that the group with vitamin C and vitamin B complex did remarkably better for resolution of their cold and flu, taking down the symptoms of their cold and flu, and the further ongoing to an actual infection as well.
You know, sometimes we forget about vitamin C, you know, just because it's been around forever, it seems. And, you know, people are always looking for the newest fad. What is the research on vitamin C for the immune system, and how well does it work?
Oh, vitamin C is, well, that's why it's almost in every multivitamin. I think I'm a big proponent of vitamin C. I think this time of year personally, that we should almost increase our dose, especially if we are indoors a lot more and our immune system tends to drop and we know we're a little bit prone. Having a great antioxidant like that, when we know we're in a situation where our body is going to be under stress more, is just good thinking, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're this time of year, work tends to be busier. It's the Christmas season. We're not outside enjoying sunshine, relaxing as much. That's just regular stress. For that, we need more antioxidants to help our body move things through. And vitamin C is one of the best out there.
You mentioned, it was a B complex that you mentioned that, you know, made a difference?
Yeah.
What is it? What does a B complex do for people that don't know about it?
Well, B complex, vitamin B complex, is basically take all the vitamin Bs that are on the market and put them in kind of a standardized dose in that particular product. Lots of products are different. There might be a B50 where there's 50 milligrams of or micrograms of B6, B12, and things like that. So it's a wide range and maybe not that applicable for everybody, but it's certainly great. I mean, B6 is great for nerve and muscle function, B12 for energy and heart health, and on and on and on. So again, that's a conversation that people should probably have with their pharmacist and just see if that's the type of product. Because if it's a high dose of vitamin B12 and they have high blood pressure, well, high dose of B12 can actually increase your blood pressure. So maybe that's not the product for you. Hmm.
In the research, though, you were saying that it was boosting the immune system.
Yes, along with vitamin C and echinacea, really good results in that form.
Hmm. B complex is good for dealing with stress too, I guess.
Absolutely, that B6 version good for great nerves and stress. Absolutely, the stress tablets are stress ease, they call them.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there, you know, one of the things that you know we seem to do in the winter is we want to sleep more because it's, you know, it's darker and I imagine that's good for our immune system, but there's a lot of people that have sleeping problems. Are there any over-the-counter medications that really seem to work for sleep?
That's a really good question. There are a lot of herbal products out there. Valerian maybe being number one, melatonin being another one. Use a lot of melatonin with some of my hormone consultations. Their cortisol levels might be off and our body's natural rhythm sort of gets off as well. And that just helps restore that. So we're waking up more on the proper time and resetting our clock's natural rhythm. And there's a fair bit of research behind melatonin. And it's pretty safe overall for children right through seniors. And there's varying doses out there, even chewable tablets if for children. Some of the others, obviously, valerian being a plant, again, we might have allergies, things like that. There's not as much data behind that. And there's really, we're dealing with the standardization of the products across the board with all the different manufacturers.
Dan, I was going to ask you about melatonin. Is there any group or subset of the population that should not be taking melatonin?
I can think of a few. I mean, there's some disease states where that's not really the one you want to do, and that might be more of a endocrine or a hormone type issue. So if you have those type of issues, not necessarily my hormone menopausal patients, or my testosterone patients, but maybe.
Kind of losing you a little bit there. Well, I got you, you know, on the line here, and I was going to ask you, because you're a pharmacist, what are the biggest drug-herb interactions that you see coming across that people should be concerned about or aware of?
I just got you back. What sort of products should they
be aware? I was just going to ask you, because you're a pharmacist, and mm-hmm. what are some of the drug and herb interactions that you see happening, most commonly, and that people should be aware of?
Oh, that's a great question. I see. I think there is so many. There's so many drugs, so many herbs. So many drugs actually have roots in plant or herbal form. We're mainly processed through the liver. And a lot of herbs that you see over the counter are done the same. So it can either decrease the effectiveness of the drug or increase it. And so when we're on like blood thinners, certain heart medications, even some antibiotics, that's maybe not the herbs we should be taking. So if you're there's thousands of interactions. So if you're planning to take an herb for your listeners, you should check with your pharmacist if you're on a regular medication, because there might be an interaction that you're completely unaware of.
Or I guess a lot of cases where people are taking, these herbs on an ongoing basis, they go to the doctor for something and the doctor says, you better take some medication. And, and they forgot to mention to the pharmacist, or they should be asking their pharmacist, is there going to be
any? Absolutely. Yeah. When you go to that pharmacy counter and the pharmacist asks you, is there anything else you're on? Make sure you mention those products you're taking over the counter too. And not just herbal products, but, over the counter, Tylenol, Advil, maybe a regular protein supplement for certain reasons. A lot can have effect with prescription medication, so it's worth having that talk.
Are there, we mentioned like vitamin C and some of the B complexes and ginseng. Are those products safe, or do you have to, are there some interactions with those as well?
Vitamin C is very safe. You really have to get it to an extreme dose for an extended period of time to really create an issue with vitamin C. And we're talking about 4 grams or more, and your average tablet is 500 milligrams. So we're talking about 8 or more tablets a day. So unless you really like those 2 little vitamin C tablets, just cut back a bit. And you have to do it for an extended period of time. So vitamin C overall is extremely safe. B complex, like I mentioned, the problem with maybe blood pressure might be an issue. Is probably the most the biggest one I can think of off the top of my head. Again, if you were going to choose a supplement, just mentioning to your pharmacist is a great idea.
Dan, we only have a couple minutes left. I'm just wondering if you could just sum up, what you've been talking about in terms of cold and flu, some of the things, and some of the things that people should be talking to their pharmacist about.
Oh, for sure. So cold and flu in general, to help prevent, lots of products out there to have shown through absolutely double-blind randomized controlled trials, just like it was prescription medication. The products like Cold Effects that have been shown to help prevent cold and flu. Some data on echinacea and zinc. And if you get cold and flu, that type of North American ginseng, Cold Effects, actually is Health Canada indication, as I mentioned before, to reduce the severity of that cold and flu you got, even if you already got the flu shot, so it works entirely fine with it. And echinacea to a degree and zinc as well. Lots of data coming out about vitamin D, which may be beneficial. If you're deficient, vitamin C, always a good idea. And before trying any herb, make sure you talk to your healthcare practitioner, especially your pharmacist, before you pick one up, or ask to sit down with them, pull in all your drugs from home, including over the counter medications that you take, the vitamins, and bring them in. Sit down with your pharmacist; they'd love to talk to you about them.
Dan, thanks for coming on the show. It's been great having you.
Hey, appreciate it. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks for coming at the last minute. That was even more impressive.
Oh, thank you. I might as well give me something to do while I'm driving in northern Alberta right now.
Exactly. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Debbie Matinopoulos about her book, It's All Greek to Me.